Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jason, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and get to know our guest. It is episode 61. It is Friday, September 6th, and the news just keeps on coming. So to start, we've got some Cyberpunk is embroiled in some more drama. But this seems less controversial than usual. And we've got some news on the alleged volunteer exploitation at Chucklefish. But first, let's get our guests settled in. So you know them from previous episodes. I'm just learning that there was a large, like, 20-episode gap.
20-episode gap.
That we did not mean for that to happen. But they are really good friends of the podcast, Twitch streamers, artists, and one of them is a public figure, a politician, something like that. Please welcome friends of the show, Nika and Twilark. Wonderful and Twilark. Hello.
So greetings. I'm Nika Wanderpuss. You might know me from streaming and shit, which is pretty great.
I'm sorry, FCC. Are we supposed to, is it cool to like?
I just blew me out.
I didn't know.
For fuck's sake.
We're trying to be more professional. Am I the only goddamn professional here? Is that what's happening right now?
Hi, I'm Twilark. Nice to meet y'all.
Way to switch gears.
So that's great. I just wanted to just make sure that so anyways.
Now that I already derailed it for everyone.
Nika and Twilark once again. So what happened? We were on for episode 31 and 41, but then we missed 51.
So it hurts a lot
retroactively.
There has to be. There shall be retribution, I believe is the correct term.
Retribution, okay.
Yes. I will have my revenge. And it
shall be. On whoever was guest 51 for episode 51.
You know, I don't actually see a name on this
Manhunt.
One.
So. Manhunt? We gonna manhunt? Is that what we're doing? It was a... Manhunt.
Was it one of the ones maybe I did on my own? Because if so, you can just hunt me down. It's fine.
I'm you already on the manhunt. So.
It says solo instance. So,
So cool.
You had the opportunity to call us in, and then you chose not to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ooh,
sorry.
Even more.
Honestly, you know what? It hurts me, too.
How's it feel to, like, look yourself in the mirror and be like,
I truly don't know how I'm going to sleep at night.
Closest to me. Yeah. All the time.
All closest.
I need friends of the podcast, he says.
That's true. I did say that. I truly apologize.
This whole house of cards tumbling down.
Never realized.
Oh, man, I've made a huge mistake. Well, you know what? We'll figure it out. We'll fix it. I will fix it.
As you fucking should. As the voice of people working. Yes.
So, there's been some changes in your Twitch stream since the 20-episode gap since we last saw you.
So, the major change is we actually hit partner. I think everything else is basically exactly the same. Just a partner now.
That's cool. So, is partner...
Yeah, right.
What do you get with that?
Nothing. It's nothing.
You get a lollipop.
It means nothing.
No, not even.
It's great.
Oh, I think I might get a t-shirt, but only for going to TwitchCon. So, honestly, don't recommend.
Oh, okay.
No, but real talk though, right? Oh, my bad. Thought we were going to have some real talks.
Yeah, real talk. Don't recommend.
Okay.
Yeah, don't recommend.
Don't recommend.
Very interesting game industry, how that whole shebang works, how the idea of you could broadcast yourself, be a brand, fuck yeah, woo, live rich, die never, that kind of shit. So maybe not
really any of that.
Yeah, not so much on the platform Twitch of things have changed over the years, and so the support isn't as there or isn't as integrated. And so it really does become more you're your own personal creator and your own brand, and you have to go off and make your own success, which is pretty great, because that's the American way.
Right. So it's just kind of like...
You're on your own, get fucked.
you're on your own, but here's our platform that you can use.
Yeah, and let us take like a chunk of your profits.
And when you say support isn't there, you mean like Twitch support is not
right there. Or so everybody is a contractor, and so from that perspective, yeah, I'm already making money off of you. I don't have to necessarily reinvest money into these contractors, so that way, let's say, ooh, their careers could get bigger. It just, no, I'm already making money. I'm good.
Plus, and it's not in your best interest, really, for their careers to take off on any other platform but yours.
Because then maybe they might get poached and move over to Mixer. If you were, say, maybe like the top dog or so. So that allows things like that to happen. And we're not on the level of like number one anything.
Not even close.
But number one art show / shit show?
I mean, we're in the top five. Number one art show / shit show specifically streaming to the Final Fantasy channel. Absolutely, we are number one.
Oh, without a doubt. one out of nine.
You've taken over that area. Congratulations.
We've seen like cause to celebrate. Drop off. So
really?
We destroyed the competition.
Well, so you actually bring up a good point, though, with so we actually spoke about maybe like two episodes ago about Ninja leaving Twitch for Mixer.
Nice.
It might not seem like the biggest deal for, you know, let's say low level quote unquote streamers who are on Twitch. But I mean, if they follow, let's say, the advice we've heard here and not go for a Twitch partner and instead go over to Mixer for whatever reason.
Don't do that either. I'm not advocating going to Mixer. Absolutely not. Under any circumstances. Just saying that leaving, having partner as this goal that proves that you really made it, or that it is some milestone that you must hit. Mm-hmm. No, it really isn't.
It's not.
Right.
You can do just as well, equally as well, in all regards, whether you have it or not.
Right.
So for people who are obsessed with that being some kind of very important mark, I would say no, don't, not really. I see. When it comes to Mixer, I mean, for gaming, maybe if you're playing the top most popular games, but if you are an artist like me or any other kind of creative or doing any other content aside from those games, that platform isn't really for you yet. Maybe it'll get there, but it's not there now. So now on Mixer in the art channel, not like right now specifically, but when I'm live, we did comparisons, and there were as many people watching me alone on Twitch as watched the entire art category on Mixer.
Which doesn't seem like it's a platform for growth in this specific niche.
In that specific
just
niche.
Yet. And at the same time, you're on your own. Wherever you go as a creator, you're on your own. And so that's why when we were talking about like YouTube apocalypse was happening and everybody needed to start diversifying, and it's like, ooh, go check out this Patreon, go check out my YouTube videos, go check out these Twitch live streams, go check out my podcast, and go check out this. Yeah, like diversify, which
absolutely
is great, but then also burnout. And so like everything comes with this nuanced positive and negative pros and cons of what you should and shouldn't do, and that really just I'm pretty sure the term is sucks balls.
Yeah. Sure. That is the technical term, I believe.
Suckus of the ballus is it's so like, because when you do that, you're gonna burn out, and you're gonna have this just over and over every week you've got to produce these five separate things, and now if you need guests, just like, I mean, you gotta put guests together, and when they bail out, when they don't, and when they have them, and that just all of these different factors over and over and over and over and over, and you made a couple bucks this month.
Maybe. If you were real lucky, you made a couple bucks this month.
Or if you were smart and you looked at, and you finally kind of chiseled into like a niche market, and now you're trying to monetize that, and you're pretty good. But the people who we see right now doing well, monetizing their creations and their brand, are people who have been doing this for basically, most likely, more than 8 years. 8 years and up. Like, have you been doing it for 8 years? Like, our stream just hit 2.5-ish almost. 2.3, 2 years.
2.5 is in October for us, yeah.
So it's just, nah, though. Like, we're not going to take time. So don't think of any type of creation as a get quick, rich kind of thing.
No, no chance in hell.
Just no chance. And so partner doesn't mean that either. And so this idea that oh, I got to be a partner, and then I'm going to cash out because I'm a titty streamer. And it's just, nah, though. Nope. Everything is different. Yeah. And so in that respect, pay attention to yourself, pay attention to your needs, the people around you, your community around you, and focus on that. Focus on something that is true for you or the people that you support or the kind of content that you want to create that you think the world does need or somebody else would benefit or just you would benefit from making it. And in that sense, now you're changing what it means to be successful, and now you're not necessarily going to hit burnout in the same way because you're not being measured by arbitrary numbers.
Absolutely. Arbitrary numbers.
Ooh, 75 viewer average. Who the fuck? Who picked that number?
Meaningless. What? Absolutely meaningless number.
Means but also, nothing.
It's just true in general that when you're passionate about something, you make better stuff. You're more happy to do it. You enjoy doing it. The content you make is better. So I think people get caught in this trap of, well, I have to dance to Twitch's tunes or any platform that you're on. I have to dance to a specific tune. I have to meet their algorithm. And absolutely, you have to play the game. If you want to be successful on the platform, at very minimal, you have to actually play the game. Mm-hmm. But there is a point where people compromise. Indeed. There are people where they compromise themselves on the content they're trying to make just to appeal to a different audience or have mass market appeal and things like that. And I think you core out the creative gem and innovation inside yourself for the idea that you might get some money now. And you still won't. And you'll find out that all of the content you're making becomes hollow.
Several.
But I've known people who've done things on the YouTube platform for ages that haven't essentially made a dime on it.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, first of all, talking to both of you is super inspiring. Like, I don't even mean that, like, sarcastically. Like, sometimes I think I got to have you guys on more when I'm feeling like 2010 episodes in or so, and I'm just like, oh boy, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then you guys come on and you're like, keep doing it. And I'm like, okay, fine.
No one cares. In a good way, though.
I really enjoy nihilistic positivity. Just nothing matters. So do the shit that you like because it doesn't matter. And if you're gonna do shit you love.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I mean, I guess in that respect, you're right about neither of them being good, but I guess neither of them are bad either. Just kind of do what you need to do to get where you want to be.
Honestly, that's it. Find a platform that suits you.
Yes, mm-hmm. And the first step for doing that, though, is realizing what's going to suit you. Like, who are you? What do you like? What do you want to do and create? And then matching that up with a platform, matching that up with things that make sense, mm-hmm. and then be smart about it. Go research, go read. There's so much content out there that you can consume to make your content better and more polished and more you. So then,
honestly, that is the hardest part, is convincing people that it's not just enough to just throw yourself at it and be like, well, if I do it a lot, Big Daddy Twitch, Big Daddy Mixer, they're going to notice me. They're not. Because they're not watching, because it's all algorithms. But
it's a computer.
It's just a computer.
It's a Unix system.
But there are tons of resources out there for you to do the research to do better on your platform, whatever that chosen platform is. Do the research. It's work, but heads up, it's always going to be work.
Everything is work.
It's just work. If you want your stream to be successful, you want your podcast to be successful, you want your YouTube videos to be successful, heads up, treat it like it's a job, because baby, it's a job. Yeah. So do the work.
Yeah.
That is the hardest thing.
Which sucks, because then you're like, oh, but like, I'm trying to do all this stuff, so I don't have my 8-to-5, and I don't want to like sell out to the men. And it's like, cool, I get it, but if you actually want this to work out, work for it. And that's what it means. So, like, this, not this whole, like, hustle culture where you gotta, like, I didn't even sleep. You know how many, like, Red Bulls I pounded? And it's like, nobody cares,
we don't
man.
Need that.
No one fucking cares. Like,
no one needs that.
I don't care if you made straight A's in college because, like, you snorted so much coke and shit and did all your little addies and shit. I don't care. I made some B's, but you know what? Still same paper. Nobody gives a fuck later. Like, nobody actually cares. And so if you're saying, oh, I almost killed myself, like, producing this video that got 15 views, or, like, just, even just, like, 1,000 views. That's a huge number of views for, like, a rando, for a beginner person. But, I mean, relatively, it's not. But you spent all this time and all this energy and all this, and now, but you had this idea that it was going to go viral and it's going to go to... Set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. So go in smart and know who you are and know what works. Just for
manage your expectations.
I think one of the lessons we can learn from, like, you know, trying to get that job in meat space in real life, if you will, and applying it to content creation is that, you know, none of us are good at that job day one, and none of us get the similar job adjacent to it. Like, if you're going to be a barista, you probably have to start as, like, a janitor, because you don't have the barista experience, so you have to learn that, and so they hire you as something else, and, you know, so on and so forth.
Barista, like, apprentices?
I don't know. I think so. Don't they?
Is that a thing? I'm pretty sure they have to.
That sounds like a pretentious bullshit thing that would exist, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, you don't like start off day one drawing leaves inside your cups of coffee. Right? Yeah.
I do like the idea of, like, oh, like, I'm just, like, a barista intern, and it's like, no, you're unpaid. That's what that means. Again, we need to unionize the games industry, because if we don't, then we have... Yeah. Now, when we talk about volunteer exploitation at Chucklefish, what we're really talking about is barista apprentices.
Like, barista apprentices.
It just... Fuck, though. Aren't we? At the...
Well, we will get into that. I want to know one thing. Just one thing.
What love is?
Baby, don't hurt me. What have you been playing this week? I have to know. I must know.
Do you?
Yeah, please tell me. I actually heard a cool thing that you said today about how you bought some Game Boy Advance SP games. So I need to know what games those are.
I just went to PAX West 2019 up here in Seattle, and, I have gone to so many PAXes that I'm of the team where it's just like, man, it's not as good as it once was anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, so I'm that cynical old guy of just like, you think this was good? I remember the year where everything was t-shirts for giveaways. I'm just like, back in the good days.
Sure.
So just came back from that. DS Koopa is a Twitch streamer who, in the Seattle area, actually owns their own used gaming shop. I'll like provide links and stuff, but they had a booth, a little section out in the far, far corner of the main expo hall, and I have a Game Boy SP that I finally found the chargers and the Game Boy itself for, and I put it all in one little spot. So I bought Ooh, Dr. Mario.
Wow. Okay.
I bought a Barbie game, but I don't remember what it is. And then for four whole dollars, I bought a VeggieTales game.
Oh my God.
So excited. I thought I'd be so much more excited about the Batman game, because I was like, oh yeah, fucking Batman. Right. Like, dope. But VeggieTales, it's something like The Adventures of Larry Boy or something. I was like, oh!
Oh my God.
It had to have been the best cup of coffee I've ever bought, even though, like, the leaf is all messed up. But it was the price of a coffee. So, you know,
support
your local businesses.
Yeah, especially ones that sell, like, used games like that. That's awesome.
Oh, man, if it comes out and, like, man, what? I don't even remember what VeggieTales was. He was a cucumber or something?
VeggieTales is, like, they tell, like, tomato? Christian allegory stories.
I grew up on that shit. That shit was...
But they're, like, but they're all vegetables instead of, like, I don't know, a lion or some shit.
Their puns are amazing. I couldn't say any off the top of my head because, like... I'm bad at puns, but like, if you had to put a calendar on a door, what would you call it? would it be like
Dollander?
Dollander, right? That's exactly what you tried to call it. when obviously Mika, smarter than us, by far, Kalimdor.
It's so obvious now.
It's so obvious now. Yeah. Other than that, I've been playing 17,000 billion hours on They Are Billions. They just released a a couple months ago. They released a what's it called? Like a campaign mode. A campaign mode, and I am 38% into it, and. Wasted a lot of nights on it so far. I'm not good at it. Like, that's not the point.
She has been up late so many nights. Sometimes I'll come out to, like, grab a drink or whatever. She's still there. Just playing.
Failing. I was like, maybe this time I can do it. I have watched all of Veronica Mars. I have watched all of iZombie. Anything Rob Thomas has produced, I have watched it playing this game.
Wow.
It's a it's a sickness. It's a
I think it might be time to uninstall.
No, I'm not even halfway through. I'm not a quitter. So
how many more months at this point of your life are you gonna throw down the drain?
That sounds like
what else
like,
is finish this game? Nothing.
Sounds
this
like the World Health Organization might have a word with you about video game addiction.
There are no microtransactions, so I don't feel like I'm being constantly sold. I do feel like I'm getting the worth of the game that I paid for initially. I'm getting 20,000 time fold. And then I'm into it. Little tower defense, build your city, then you
little zombies. You know what? Some of us have to buy loot boxes to feel whole, so don't show off.
Yeah. And again, so with the unification of the gaming industry, just like
Nika, have you been playing anything before?
I have a feeling that if you actually go back to previous episodes that I've been on, I might have just been playing the same thing.
Oh boy.
So I actually got back into, I took a break for a bit, but I'm back into Conan Exiles, and I need people to understand that Conan Exiles is actually a fantastic game.
Oh, yeah.
It genuinely is. I think people don't give a lot of credit because it is not a game that holds your hand at all. It's not a game that tells you anything. Basically at all. It is a game that it's like, welcome, just survive, do what you want, and you don't. And the very initial time that I started playing it, which was, I think, May last year, so absolutely around the first time that I was on the show, I think all I did was just build. I just built a lot, and I was content with that, and I didn't really dive any deeper than that. And then some months ago, I'm not even sure how long we've been playing at this point, got back into it like explicitly with the desire to play the game, because there's so much more to the game there than just building, just surviving. There are actual dungeons you can do and boss fights you can do. There are subplots running underneath in the story. There's a lot. The game is hard, and I like games that are hard. I like games that actually give me a challenge. Yeah. I find that a lot don't. So this one, no, it matters. There are stakes. It can be difficult. You are not going to just find the best, strongest weapon somewhere and then blitz your way through the game. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found it to be consistently so good, and fuck if I remember the name of the company that makes it, and I feel really bad about that, because they are killing it when it comes to constant content updates, both DLCs and just quality of life things, extra just assets in the game, putting new dungeons in the game. It was not too long ago, like within this last month, I think, that they added a new dungeon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They
I didn't realize.
Constant updates. They said there's another expansion that's like in the works.
Wow.
They're constantly putting work into this game. And honestly, I would have felt that any other company would have ditched it by now. It's a sleeper. But man, it's still good. It's worth giving a shot if you haven't played it before.
Even been doing like live streams and
stuff. They're doing work. They're really putting work in. And it shows. It shows in the game. And it's been an absolute pleasure to just keep diving back in and finding new things, like boss fights with mechanics. Not complicated mechanics, but mechanics, and which was not something that I was expecting in it at all.
Right.
It's worthwhile checking it out. If anyone is super interested, I play on the PS4 on the public PvE server, number 383, its official server. Please come hang out with us.
at us.
Just kind of rolling around. I was told I can build. You got your little, like, axe.
You cannot mine. That is my job. All I want to do in this
game is when she logs in, just mining.
Diggy, diggy hole. I'm a fucking dwarf.
Like, I'm not, but, like, ooh. One day.
Also, I'm gonna get me is coming out.
What's this now?
Borderlands 3. I don't know, maybe you've heard of it. It's coming out soon. Oh,
yeah.
That is definitely the next thing on the table.
Right. That playtime. Actually comes out quite soon.
Yeah, it's on the 13th. So, yeah. It is imminent. Imminent. So you better wrap up this They Are Billions shit.
That's what I'm working on. I'm trying to. I know what we about.
Wrap it up. Let's go.
I already told work, just being like, yeah, well, I'm going to be pretty busy weekend of the 13th. And, oh, what's going on? Or just like, family?
Yeah, family's back in town.
I'm going to get a family emergency somewhere around. I'm going to give labor. And it's just like, what? No, I was told I get months off, right? Fuck, I forgot we're in America. Hot takes.
Well, speaking of hot takes, let's jump into
How about 30 minutes into the podcast, we actually talk about, like,
The
gaming
news?
I think news. Something? Is that what we're here to do? Listen, I can't remember, to be honest.
We uplifted the people. We told them about your video games. And now we have to tell them.
I don't know if they needed to hear about my video games. VeggieTales.
That's a wonderful thing. That's
Larry
a wonderful
Boy
thing.
And the Bad Apple.
Is that really what it's called?
Yes, if you wanted to get it, it's on Amazon for like $7.
Yeah,
so
perhaps,
I got a steal.
$3 discount. Okay.
Boom! Support your local lake. Game shit.
Well, speaking of locals and unions and all that stuff, we've got news. And it goes something like this. Chucklefish. We're going to start with Chucklefish.
Yeah, I feel like that thematically.
Thematically, absolutely.
Like, or we should end with it? I'm sorry. Mm. I have got hot takes on this.
Okay.
It's not hot at all. I'm just, they're like some
medium rare takes on this.
Medium.
Okay. Well, for Chucklefish News, it was recently reported that there have been about a dozen or more workers who worked at Starbound, on Starbound, and other games in the Chucklefish library who may have been working for free as volunteers. Some of these workers, like Damon Reese, who tweeted extensively about their time with Chucklefish, were as young as 16 when they joined Chucklefish. Despite some people coming forward about their experience, Chucklefish has come out with a statement of their own saying, quote, "We're aware and saddened by the current allegations against Chucklefish regarding Starbound's early development. During this time, both the core crew and community contributors were collaborating via a chat room and dedicated their time for free. Community contributors were under no obligation to create content, work to deadlines, or put in any number of hours. Everyone was credited for or remunerated as per their agreement." End quote. So, I mean, it's easy to say that this sounds kind of sketchy. It's easy to say there's two sides of the story, but I mean, it more or less brings up something that's pretty, I think, perhaps something we don't hear about enough in the video game industry, is people getting underpaid or not paid at all for their work.
Yeah, no, I don't think we ever hear about that in the industry whatsoever.
I mean, we don't hear about it enough.
Are you kidding me? Completely, like, not reading the room, Will. Of course we do! Just super angry, just oblivious. Hella fucking pissed. You gotta be shitting me!
That is... It's just so typical, and for me, it's this idea of, because Starbound started off so small. It was such a small little production game. We actually worked with them when we were doing our charity stuff, Giving a Flock. So, like, and now a bunch of, like, the developers and shit. And we've had them on stream and we've had a good time. And so it's not difficult for me at all to separate, like, feelings. Because, like, nah, fuck everyone. But at the same time, like, yeah, no, it feels so good as just a person
to want to pitch in and help out some like bros that you just met. They're making a game that sounds really cool. I work my 8 to 5, hate it. It'd be cool to like help you test out your game a little bit. It'd be cool to like be part of some of these meetings, talk about character creation, mm-hmm. talk about just mechanics and this and that. It makes you feel a part of something. And when you start talking about games as if they are works of art or as if they are intentional pieces of entertainment to be consumed, now it makes it even fucking cooler that, yeah, no, Starbound, like, it took off, and that was fucking dope, and I'm, like, one of those kids that just, you know, I came home and just, like, started fucking around on the computer, and I don't know, I'm part of a game, and they put, like, my name on it, and that's really cool, but also, you worked hundreds of hours, and there were deadlines. Don't tell me there fucking wasn't. Like, they've been confirmed already that there were hard deadlines, and there was expectations set out, because you are treating people like they're an unpaid labor force, which mm-hmm. you should. If you have an unpaid labor force, treat them like they're a labor force. But at the same time, maybe don't do child labor. Ooh. But maybe at the same time, maybe the way we develop games could be different, just in general. But it just, there are so many models out there. There are so many ways to fuck over people. And the consumers and people who have a love for this industry, love for this type of content. It's just bizarre.
So the comparison of, or literally just their artists, it is a creative industry, is very similar to spec work in, right. in the artist field, which is mm-hmm. Speculative work, which is any job where a client wants to see a finished example of the finished thing first. And then like, does it maybe it's, to aside very briefly, Shaq, like Shaquille O'Neal, posted on his Twitter this past like week or two about like, hey, animators, I have these stories and I'd love for you to tell them. Come check out my website, pick a story that you like and animate it for me. You get a chance to win $500. And it's like, you understand $500 ain't shit for an animator, right?
Yeah, that's
but not that enough. Aside, it's still tons of people Shaq. Doing work for nothing. That just in case one person might win and be featured on the show. And he literally
is selected.
In the video is just like, I'm gonna make you famous. No, you're fucking not. That don't mean shit. But also, Shaq like, news. The backlash was hilarious. All of the comments were just like, really? And explaining, and some politely, some not politely, about all the ways that is exploitative and really shitty.
Right.
And he, like, half-stepped by being like, hey, guys, I heard you. Prize is now $10,000. And it's like, okay, that's closer, but that's one person who gets that, not everyone else who participates.
Right.
That's not an okay way to do things, but also artists, you gotta stop taking that work. You gotta stop playing into that system, because if you stop doing that work, that they won't use it anymore. But if you start demanding to be paid what you're worth for the work that you're doing, you will start to get paid your worth for the work you're doing. But it has to be a cultural movement, because if there's always someone who's gonna work for free, they're always gonna exploit that person that works for free. But
well, we've been told continuously
that hang on. But
they're gonna outsource me.
And that's the thing, like, yeah, but in the case for Chucklefish, it is a split thing for me. So if you were an adult person and you chose to do this, then it is a choice that you made. And if you signed a contract that was stupid, but you went in eyes open of what you were doing, and you can't be mad. They took advantage of you, you signed documents to do it. That said, if you're 16, you can't sign things like that, and you are being exploited because you don't know better to stand up for yourself and to fight for what you deserve for the work that you're putting in. And I love the idea of, oh, it was a community project and blah, 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 but the second you started making or shipping millions of copies, you gotta give that love back to the community that helped you build that game. You have to.
Right.
It's community built, community led, but
then it should be community benefiting.
No, it is my profits.
Cause like it was, I mean, then again, because like I get it. Like you're the one who had to make the company, and you're the one who, ooh, if it goes bankrupt, it's me. Yeah, ooh, you took all the financial risks. Yes, okay, fine, but to a degree. And so like fuck off with that nonsense. There are so many other companies out there that are starting to do game companies that are starting to do different types of models, where they have, some of them are co-op models where the employees and the people who invest into the game, they reap the benefits. And so the types of management that goes around it is different. They're the ones who get to choose who they hire, who they fire. But at the same time, they get to see who financially benefits and to what degree. And so in that sense, no, that seems fucking neat. And we're starting to get a lot of pushback when we had all these conversations about microtransactions and stuff and ooh, loot boxes. And especially because there's a lot more legislation going through about loot boxes. And so if you're trying to sell your game, aka your live platform full of live services, that's never going to die. And it's just this constant pit where you can just keep mining and farming out money from people, then you just, at the end of all of this, you as companies have to adapt your financial model and how you grow. There is going to be a point where you can't continuously keep bringing positive every quarter. You can't keep just showing positive growth each and every time because you're just, oh, but now we got to fire all these people because we only have two major games that we create because we don't. EA used to make 49 games. Now they make 10 because it is a smarter model at this point to get as much as you milk that fucking game as much as you can. And while you're milking the game, while you're milking your consumers, you're also milking your employers or your employees. And so when you do that, it makes sense for then even indie games and smaller companies and studios to do the same. But they're not
the model you know. So why wouldn't you do? Because it's the model you know. Because you want to be a big company eventually, so you might as well start like you intend. Yeah. But don't do that.
Yeah, I do admit that it's, I guess it's kind of the culture shift. Because where you once had full games, and even with indie developers who were making video games, it was full games and then maybe an expansion pack or maybe a second game or something like that. Now it's 25 to 50% of a game and tons of DLC. And even for indie games too, it's not necessarily the full game. It's like, hey, now you can also, I don't know, new game plus or something like that. But that's a DLC and not an already added feature to your $40 to $60 game already.
And it's a response to not being able to be found. Now that there are so many games out there, especially in the indie games world, which is more my jam, there's just so many games. You're never going to find that needle in the haystack. So the idea that you're the needle in the haystack, get off yourself. You're never making money. You're most likely going to sell 3,000 copies, so you might make 10 to 15K on your game that took you like a year to make. That is kind of pretty good. That's an average what you're going to do. If you're a one-man, two-man studio, nice. Job well done. That's going to help you get funding for your next game if that's the route you want to go. Or that's at least going to let you have something to stand on when you're going to do like a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo for your next idea or game. So that way you can be an independent creator or an independent studio. So like taking all of that and then just, no one's going to find my game though, which means if you do find yourself with a Stardew Valley, stick with it, man. That worked. That had it. Turn it into a live service. Have these extra things. Make sure that you can grow and build that into a company. But the problem then turns into, that's all you have. So now you hardcore have to milk it. And then now you're putting all your resources there. So you're not creating anything else new. You're not exploring the limits of this medium. You're not encouraging people to be innovative. No, it's all just incremental because every quarter I've got to show positive growth. And so it really doesn't benefit us as consumers, us as this lover, like these lovers of these art pieces. Nah, does us no good. And so in that respect, to bring it all the way back to Chucklefish and how, yeah, this is just kind of how the industry is, though. The industry doesn't give a fuck, though. And we see that consistently. The industry is such a volatile place to work.
But at the same time, oh my God, you work on video games. You're like living the dream, aren't you? And it's like, no.
No, it's so hard for me.
I'm absolutely not.
As someone who's passionate about games and who has been a gamer for virtually my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seeing the industry
implode itself or like eat itself.
Yeah, just, I was going to say, it feels like we're kind of folding back.
A little bit. So I have to admit that I'm finding myself less and less interested in gaming, specifically gaming news. Even preparing for today and scrolling through what else has been going on in the past week or so, this glaze over. So just announcement after announcement, and it feels like it's all the same shit. Speaking of the milking and everything. Just the quantity of games, the quality of them, there's such a disparity there. And in some ways, it feels like right now is a great time to be a gamer because you have more on your plate than you can eat.
You literally cannot play some of these games and have any other time. And that is kind of the goal, though.
I mean, that's great.
Only my platform so I can milk you. Don't go into any other platform. I know Wild just got vanilla. Don't play that game. You got to play this one over here. We're going to expand some content over here. Ooh, here's this DLC. And you're like, oh, no. Netflix has all these movies.
It's too much. It is too much. And I find myself, just disassociating.
Yeah.
More and more from this industry because it's constantly more. You keep hearing about the way that it abuses its workers and it's ignoring its creators. It's stifling passion and innovation in exchange for just that fast sequel or HD remake or this new expansion, just shitting out the same regurgitated shit.
Just people who are visionaries and are creatives, they're not having the access to be able to innovate and create. And that sucks balls, because if you're not a big name, you're a no one. But, like, who even are the big names anymore? Even they get fucked up. Like, even Kojima got fucked up. So,
that's very
no
true.
One is safe. Like, you're not a Kojima. No one is.
Do you think that's why people are upset with, like, Epic Games exclusives? Do you think we're buying into this idea that even Steam, like, you know, Steam is the big giant in this case. Do you think we've bought into the idea that games shouldn't be as exclusive as we're making them out to be?
I feel like interesting way I to personally put it. Don't care. I don't care about the Epic Store. I don't care about Steam stands alone. Maybe it could use some competition. That doesn't bother me any. And I don't care if I have to do another downloader to install a game. I don't care. I really have no horse in this race. It doesn't bother me at all. What is one more download to me?
I don't think it bothers me that much either. But I guess I see
that some people are mad, but also
I'm a little mad. I'm a little
irked. Tell me why you're actually mad, because I know I don't care.
I'm a little irked. Indie games, because again, that's my jam. So, Steam,
I'm gonna call you out right here. Are they though? Are they actually your jam?
Because they are.
You're the tired of them is, too.
The problem is there's a lot of them. Real bad. No.
They are my jam, and I like them so much, and I like this kind of thing and this world, but
a lot of them are just bad.
and I gotta enjoy that. I don't have to enjoy, but I have to understand. Yeah, no, they're all like, there's gonna be so many that are bad, and then there might be these nuggets, and the people that are into it and supporting the people who can have those nuggets of just like, no, man, that's a cool feature though, and prop those people up and make sure that they understand. No, I do like that though, and I do like when you get deeper into a theme and you get all these other things. But
that means that it's not about indie games. It's just that because you're indie level, you can access the passion and the creativity because it has yet to be snuffed out.
Yes,
essentially.
They haven't been killed
by the man.
By Chucklefish.
We were talking about the industrial video game complex. We were talking about not the alien one, not the military one, about the video games. We were talking about,
but yeah, when you have these giant companies come in, buy your studios, snuff you out, kill a lot of your projects, and then as as these developers, as people who are supposed to wear all of these hats and perform all of these insane tricks, like, not only do you have to go to conventions and, like, market your game, on top of making your game, on top of funding your game, on top of being an employer, on top of, like, all of these extra things, you also have to then make sure you're making the right moves, file your taxes right, do all, you have to be the businessman, the developer, the manager, the mom, yeah, the lover, the sweet, sweet caresser in the middle of the night, like when it just starts raining, and then you're just like, there, there, twat, there, there, and I'm just like playing
a game. It's up late in the middle of the night, crying, because it's colicky, and you have to hold it. And Rock, I don't know how babies work, so like, just insert the analogy, the analogy there for yourself. But you know, it's you like a baby.
You have to rock your video game to sleep.
You have to shake your baby, right? Shake your baby.
No, no, don't shake your baby.
Let's not.
No, look. Bad advice. Positive.
That's what they do at Disney. So, therefore, but yeah, having all of this, Steam is such a shit fuck. When they stopped giving a fuck of just how many games we're releasing every day. Mm-hmm. We had hundreds of games releasing every other day. You're never going to be found. And if all it is, you have to be visible. And then Steam specifically had a bunch of like bot games and bot accounts and just all this shit. So it does matter. Visibility matters. So Epic Games coming out and saying, hey, we're going to like beat the giant. Fuck yeah, Goliath. Suck that dick. Nom, nom, nom. Fuck yeah. And then it's just like coming in and being like, but you got to sign this exclusive contract. And it's like, fuck. Yeah, you're going to take less of a cut when I release my game on your platform, but I'm only going to be able to release my game on your platform. And it comes with all of these little strings attached, which don't get me wrong, because if you were trying to Nintendo Switch, they're doing pretty well for indie games. Yeah, because there's such small like amount of games on there that you finally get visibility, so you are going to get the clicks, you are going to get the players, and at least there is some level of moderation because you have to go through the Nintendo process. So you That's know true. You are going to get complete games, you are going to get games that the developers decided, you know, what if we finished it?
A finished game that could be actually called a complete game.
That's very true.
Play that's finally released. And then it's actually just released, though. It's not constantly in early access. It's not constantly. So we're hitting this fatigue as consumers and as developers and creators and producers. And that just, so all of these are responses. All of these issues that we're now living in are responses to how we used to live. And so, yeah, be active. Get vocal on what you think the solutions are, because there has to be solutions out there. Otherwise, we're just going to have what we still have. We have this massive turnover rate on across all studio levels, across all That's the board, true. Where the average game developer, he is 32 years old and white. Like, there is no... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How are we going to make sure that there's enough access for other people to even join the industry when they can't even keep the people who are in the industry in? There is no... Right. It's so volatile. And then you have... And then let's add another layer. Not only is it volatile in just how you run your company and how you produce a game, what that game's about, what the mechanics are. Ooh, did we get visibility? Do we have funding? But do we have funding, though? Because we just experienced Telltale Games suddenly not getting funding and then calling in all of their employees and then telling them, y'all are fucked, 90% of y'all, and you got 30 minutes to leave. And they Right. went into a world where they're not unionized. And so you had Hollywood the same way back in the 1930s, where, yeah, you're going from project to project to project. You knew there were going to be some downtime. There was going to be some uptime. But when you finished a project, when your time was done, when if you're the editor, you're in the end times, you're not doing the pre stuff, you're doing the post stuff. So like once your post stuff is done and the movie releases, yeah, you're going to have like 2 months of downtime, but you're still going to keep your retirement. You're still going to keep health benefits. You're still going to be... That was the point of unionizing. And so now these Telltale guys, they had nothing. They had no assurances. They had no network to speak to them or to speak for them to other companies and this and this. Yeah, that's one aspect of unionizing. But in this case,
the fact that Telltale is like back from the dead being like, well, JK, also, yeah. Yeah, you know, if you worked for us before, you could, like, freelance now. Fuck you.
No, that's
fuck
lame.
You.
Yeah, that's
that
awful.
Number one way as a company to fuck your people up just to save money.
This is like the 20th person to come on my podcast to basically be like, hey, unionize.
Like, unionize. Put it together. Gamer workers, unite.
That's the responsibility of the people who work in the industry.
This podcast supports game worker unionization.
But literally, game workers unite. That is an organization. If you have not gone, check it out. Get involved. It's not just the workers that need to unite. It's also the people who consume the content.
That's what I was, that's what I was just getting at. You cannot call yourself a fan of games.
There are lists.
At the end, if you're not supporting the people who make them. I am tired of people who are abusive to the people who are making games.
Jesus.
And, but calling themselves a fan and hardcore gamers and blah, blah, blah. When you don't give two shits about what they have to go through to make the content that you absolutely love to eat or get pissed
they
about it. Yeah, no, fuck off. If you want good content, support the people who are making that content so they can actually have the security to do what they want to do.
Do they? The, like, average weight, the average salary is, like, 65K or some shit. Like, but where do games get made? In huge fucking cities where 65K,
let me fucking tell you, we live in a shit fuck neighborhood.
We live in heroin fucking alley.
Oh, all right?
It is.
And 65K is not making
it. It is not This is where we live on the, like, 16K range and shit. So you're telling me that, oh, but you saved all this money. No, I'm sorry. If we're trying to fight for, like, out on the political field, fight for $15 because it's not actually a living wage. But, hey, what if we just, like, doubled the minimum wage to something somewhat closer to, like, the $22 minimum wage kind of living wage kind of thing? 65K is 24 an hour. There is no, you're not ooh, ball busting, going to the strip club every night, getting your pee-pee wet. Like, you're not living it large because you're making games. And also, all of this overtime, it's not time and a half. You're not getting paid for it. And then what happens in crunch time? You never see your friends, your family.
First off,
you have no friends. You live there. Like, there are cafeterias at work. Like, if you work for Microsoft and stuff, they have a vested interest in keeping these
young white males, aka potential suitors for Twi, they are keeping them locked up behind the walls where I can't.
But also, working at that degree, at that rate, you are bound to burn out. We've already talked about burning out, about things you're not passionate about. So if you're stripping the passion out of it, you're working people down to the bone on garbage stuff.
The difference there is that, like, it's not like you're burning out
because it's your thing.
You're right. Someone is actively kind of chipping away at, like, your rights, your money, and everything else.
And you have no safety net, no protection to fight back.
That's awful.
Against those practices.
Or when those practices finally hurt you and lay you off suddenly or fire you or get you down.
Right.
Or the entire company gets bought up and then shut down from within. And so finally you're impacted by this fucked up system. You have no protection still. You have no future anymore. So now you're constantly on top of all of that hardcore networking. So now you got to go to the conferences and conventions and all these other things and make sure that you're doing all of the social media bullshit and asking people, hey, do you mind, like, retweeting this? Because I need a job. And so, yeah, of course I'm going to retweet it, man. It's not going to mean anything.
And also just... And then the bouncing around from job to job and from city to city is also really fucking expensive.
There's no way. There's no way. Yeah. On top of all of this, for a digital medium, nonetheless, it's not like you have to go to factory to factory. Like, no, you can work in Austin and have then work for a company in Irvine, California, whatever the fuck. And they're in SoCal. So, like, ooh, so fresh.
Right.
But, like, you can have all these things, but no, no, no. And what if, but I don't really want to say much because they might outsource. Oh no, they're going to outsource the shitty jobs we're having already shitty and not getting paid enough. And what if they like send it over to Prague or all this? There was this huge, so Nashville, right? Tennessee. That cool thing. Country. Fuck yeah. That's what I love. Oh, God. So there are... That whole scene fucked up. And if you don't stay in your lane, you're a Dixie chick, and we got to kick you out, and everybody's going to hate you. So, like, because you didn't stay in your lane, because it's so corporatized. So, like, what happens there is they have musician unions. And so if you want to use the musician union, you don't have to, but it's heavily implied that you fucking should. So there's this part in my mind that is just like these real, real big, like country guys just being like, you got some music there, bud? And I'm just like, I hope they're fucking unionized. You're like, oh no. So Nashville has had this push where they're like, hey, we're going to have like $5 million for tax rebates. It's going to be great. Bring your video games here and we'll make it. We'll do the music. Fuck yeah, everybody wins. Everybody knows Nashville music. Yeah, a certain kind, but that's fine. They still know how to use the equipment. Let's make some music. Let's make some fucking music. And so the Federation of Musicians, which always in my mind, because metal. Like, how the fucking metal? Fucking metal. Fucking Federation. But they're all just like in their big old cowboy boots and shit. Like, yeah, we're the Federation of the Musicians. And it's just like, yeah, sign me up though. That sounds great. I want to be like in a bro band of just like, ooh, I'm the country one. But like, I'm a little rock and roll. Into it. All of this. Anyways, that's besides the point. So the Federation of Musicians, they come in and they're like, oh, dear. And it's just like slow your roll. Because you're coming into our part of our neck of the woods and you're telling us that you don't want union musicians? No. Like, union musicians, we get benefits, health, and we get paid $125 an hour on average. A non-union, $75 bucks an hour. And you're coming in and you're telling us you want to pay $20 an hour for anybody to do this kind of work? Fuck you. How about you just like go fuck off? And they're like, okay, we will. And then everybody else is like, no, but if we do that, they're just gonna leave to like Prague and what is it, Bratislava and shit like that, where there literally are. Yeah, dude, there's these like international hubs of musicians that specifically do where you can outsource your video game music. And that's what, like, how many video game composers do you know? How many can you actually list? How many, like, give me two that you even know of, like, a game you liked the music to so much. Mm-hmm. And even today, well, where do you get that music? How do you ingest it? How do you find it? How do you...
This reminds me...
Just all of that outsourced. Because, so scary, the unions are going to attack. But, like...
Yeah.
Cities want this work. There are cities that are cities and states that are actively trying to make video game hubs in their regions.
Right.
And yet, nah, because the companies, they want bigger tax breaks and they want dumb shit. Okay. So they're just fuck the system though. Okay.
Yeah.
So what if that reminds you of?
It definitely reminds me of the system they had with Beyond Good and Evil. Beyond Good and Evil 2 and I think it was Hit Record with that guy. What's his name again? Sure. Oh,
you know the sexy guy.
He is a good looking dude. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There we go.
Never mind. He's not for me.
Oh, no? Okay. Well, anyway.
He's not my cup of tea.
I find him delightful.
Hit Record and Beyond Good and Evil 2 had a deal. It was much like the outsourcing of thing. It's crowdsourcing art and crowdsourcing music. Ooh. And much like Shaq did. Where they wanted art and music and all this stuff, and you worked on things, and whoever got chosen got the money, but everyone would get paid a little bit.
Everybody getting paid a little bit is still better than the majority of the system to begin with, but all right.
I want to die from exposure.
So it's interesting to hear you say all this, because we've had Jason... this is terrible.
Voorhees. Hang on. I'm sorry.
Jason Voorhees? No. Oh, my God. We had a wonderful, wonderful guest come on to talk about all of this with us once. Or actually twice, because what ended up happening was he worked on a ton of music and then was basically told, like, hey, we're going to change all of this, but, like, good job. And it looked like he wasn't going to get paid for that, even though he put in all the work. So he really had to, like, push and talk to Joseph Gordon-Levitt and a whole bunch of other people at Hit Record and be like, listen, you pay me, please. So it's heartbreaking to hear it again. But, I mean, unless we unionize, we're going to keep hearing it again and again. By the way, his name is Jason Youth. He is a great person to speak to on this kind of thing. He's spoke about spec work before. He taught me a lot about spec work that I didn't know. So go listen to those episodes, episode 52 and 38.
Nice.
38.
And there's a part of me that when you take all of this and the takeaway is just kind of like, yeah, but that's going to make games more expensive. And games are already more, like, as expensive as they have ever been. And there's going to be so much issue. But absolutely. And however, if we want to be conscious consumers, then we have to actually care about the whole supply chain. And we have to actually care about the people who create the art that we want to consume. And the well-being of them, the well-being of us, the well-being of our industry, and the things that we want, the things we like, the things we give a shit about, because there are so few things in all the worlds that I just don't give a fuck about. But, like, if you do, speak up. At GameWorkers is the Twitter handle, GameWorkers. And, for GameWorkers Unite, they have a lot of great information. They're actually a response to an industry conference that had a panel that was, like, super duper, like, anti-unionization. And then after that, just a bunch of people who were in the panel and a bunch of people at the conference was just like, fuck that. And then they just, I don't know, united. And they're like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, how about do the things you love. Unite. Be able to do the things you love. That's absolutely. Just, I don't know, that seems like a little too much freedom for me, but maybe I'm just a little too pro-freedom on that. That is actually what a lot of anti-unioners call themselves. They call themselves pro-freedom. Fuck off. Be able to do your own research as a person, as a citizen, as a lover of games. Do your own research, read through the garbage, read through all of the bullshit, come to your own conclusions, see what's up, but if you give a fuck. Hot take, my bad.
Yeah. Okay, hot take, give a fuck.
Absolutely. Hashtag give a fuck. Hashtag give a fuck. We truly do not have time to go into the Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, I don't know why you started with this. Like, I told you.
It wouldn't have gotten better, honestly. I mean, the main thing is, for Cyberpunk drama, is it, though? Is it really? I mean, in the end, it's first person, but...
The first person thing?
Yeah, that was announced a year ago. So why people are up in arms about it now is a mystery. I mean, I do think the sex scenes being first person, a choice, a bold choice. A choice nonetheless.
Wait, sex scenes with Keanu Reeves?
That's a good question, actually.
As Keanu Reeves. I'm sorry. I will buy that specific DLC package. But that is it. That is where I'm going to be game mods for that one.
Play the game, turn it off when it gets to that scene, turn it back on, start it from that scene specifically, turn it back off.
If there's not, like, a fast warp to that section, like, fuck off. I'm not gonna.
No one wants that.
I'm already warmed up.
If you can't
up.
Specifically like, just go up to Keanu Reeves and ask him, then fuck? I don't want to do it.
Some fuck? he's like,
But to put it in perspective, I mean, so Cyberpunk 2077. Recently, people have been up in arms about it being in first person. The game has been just, since its inception, just battered with controversy after controversy.
I do have some thoughts on that.
Good and bad attention.
I read a really great article. I mean, not a great article. It was an article, but it made a great point. It was a Forbes article. And it said that the problem for Project Red is that Witcher 3 was just so good. And Project Red has been so, so vocal about the single-player genre, which is getting shit on basically everywhere else, being like, oh, people don't play single-player games. Go fuck yourself.
Horror games. Yeah, they do. No one wants them.
That they have built themselves a die-hard base who consider them just the quintessential, the perfect gaming company. And anytime you get to a point where you are the perfect anything, people are going to be mad when you are not perfectly whatever it was that they were expecting. And specifically for Cyberpunk, everyone, when they heard it was coming out, immediately was like, ooh, it's going to be like Witcher 3, but Cyberpunk. And that immediately pigeonholes them into being, well, if it's not Witcher 3, it's bad. It's wrong. It's not. No, but that's not my idea of a perfect game. And this is going to blow your minds. But fans, I don't think you know what's best. I don't think you actually know what is best. You have a tendency not to know until you get it. So maybe just chill and let them make a great game. Trust them that they have already made shit that you loved. Trust them to do their own shit and make something else that is not what you've already had, but something else that's also great. They can do it. Just let them do it.
That's such a great point. And it plays into us talking about overworking these employees because, oh, we released this trailer and then all these people hated this one character and hated this one thing and hated this. And so then you just imagine this manager walking into like the field of cubicles and just saying, scrap this character, make a complete new one, have it in a week. And it's like, oh, what the fuck? And it's like, nah, public didn't like it. And it's like, fuck you. Like, the public don't know shit. I'm like, own up to what you're doing. But no, you're being weak if you were actually creating a game for an experience and for a specific purpose, the game had a mission other than to have profit and make profit, then you would stick to your guns. But if your game is to make profit, and that's the whole point of developing your live service game kind of shit as a platform or whatever the fuck, yeah, you're going to have all of this turnover of these features and characters and mechanics and all of this shit. And so it is difficult to trust a company to make a game because typically companies don't trust anything. They only trust public appeal because public appeal mean money, though. And so,
but the public, they don't know what they're going to love until they get this new thing.
I agree with you.
And it's so frustrating to see them basically getting hobbled or curtailed because, oh no, this though. And honestly, in Project Red's defense, they are sticking to the world that they want to create. And they are getting feedback and they are taking feedback. That's one of the things of inclusivity and things like that they are genuinely working towards. And they're still getting blowback of people being mad about that too. But people are going to be mad about fucking everything. And there's a point that you have to trust your own compass. And it
including first-person-isms. I don't know. First-person-ism.
Right? That's just such a weird... Trust them that they are making a good experience for you. They have not been fucking it up before.
You want the sex scenes in first-person.
What they are going to make for you.
Right.
I mean, I think Game of Thrones is a great example of that, of like when Martin was no longer writing the episodes and it was just a very pandering two seasons because they started to make what they thought the fans wanted. But what was great about Game of Thrones is not what you expected to want. It was that you didn't expect it and you got something that you had never thought of. Yeah. That's what made it amazing. That's true. And that's what makes art and innovation amazing. It's not about what you already expect. Fuck what you expect. Give you something new and unexpected. But unexpected and innovative is not bankable. And so when you have companies being like, no, but I want the same shit. You have to make the same shit because we already know the same shit sells. And then you're stuck making remakes.
And that's or why just... you have 10 games. EA only makes 10 games now.
Infuriating. Because it is cutting the art out of what is inherently an artistic medium. Absolutely. A storytelling medium. Something that allows you to experience art and story in a way that no other platform can do. But the second you start ripping that creativity out, you have hollow experiences. And that's no good. But I mean, and it still comes back to the audience to just, how about maybe getting off the hype train a little bit? Maybe mm-hmm. maybe dialing back on your intake of all of these.
But there's so much gamer news.
There's so much.
Maybe
I have dialed back.
Only listen to this podcast. So
thank you.
What's up? Oh
the my thing God. Is, you can't have a conversation with an article, and that's YouTube true. Rants are rants.
Man, mm-hmm. that's such a good point.
And so. Twitter threat. It's not an in-depth conversation.
That's so true.
Sometimes maybe you got to step back a little bit and not, oh, every controversy that you have to dig into to be like, oh, what is it? To get riled up over shit that doesn't matter yeah. at all. If you didn't have expectations about what Cyberpunk was going to be like, and then just the day that it launches, you ingest that, you're going to have so much of a better time rather than playing the game and being like, well, why wasn't this first or why wasn't this third person? Why would you have expected yeah. it to be? Any other mm-hmm. game that you got that was a brand new IP, you wouldn't have those expectations.
You bring up a good point, though.
Oh, I know.
If you went in completely blind to a game like Cyberpunk, and blow I'm sure there are people mind. Who might be, but yeah, right, it would blow your mind. But at the same time, I'm sure there would be people out there who would... going in blind, say something like, you know, I think this game would have been better in third person. I still enjoyed it, but it would have been better in third person.
At that point, it's an educated personal right. stance, as I opposed to just think, latching onto something that somebody else said.
Right. I think there's a difference when you go online on your forums or on Twitter or whatever, and you kind of group think that you all hate the first person mode.
However,
whereas when you kind of go in on your own and just kind of think about it, you know, either retroactively or otherwise, then you might have even a slightly different perception.
So what you're saying, let me try to sum up what you're saying. Uh-oh. Are you saying that people should form their own opinions?
What's that mean? You said something controversial.
I
can't.
Also,
first person opinions. What's that?
Okay, now that is a movement good. That I can get behind.
First person hashtag opinions. First person opinions.
Hashtag first person opinions. I'm so into that. But also, especially because let me just throw the little cog in the wrench here, and maybe like a wrench into all the cogs. Maybe I don't know what are phrases. So much funding relies on marketing. So much funding goes to marketing, but also back and forth, like they're just chicken and the egg kind of thing. And so the more that you interact with a hashtag, the more, the more these managers and people who are trying to like get funding from their games, from the publishers and all this other shit to make sure that they've got enough. And we don't know how many pre-orders we're going to sell first of a fuck pre-orders, but it is a good marker of being able to have some funds at the bank so you can still develop. And it's really tricky though, because I don't pre-order Hollywood videos. Like, I don't pre-order. I know I'm going to go watch The Joker. I saw one trailer. I'm going to watch that fucking Joker. I'm going to watch
it. When does it come out? Can we just
October 4th, my birthday. No big deal.
Wait, really? It's so far away.
It feels so far away because we saw the trailer, like teaser trailer, like months ago. And so,
the Joaquin Phoenix Joker?
Yes.
I thought it was out for some reason.
No, October 4th. Comes out October 4th.
Almost.
It's on my calendar.
It's what we're doing for my birthday. Like
on the calendar.
Calendar. Thank you.
Oh. I swore it came out this week.
No, absolutely not. October 4th.
That's bizarre. It's because, but okay.
It was because it premiered trailer. At some film festivals and things like that.
Yeah.
And so there have been those early reactions and whatnot to it.
And so, like, if you're
absolutely interested, yeah, tweet a little bit about it. Use the hashtags mm-hmm. that other people are using. Make, like, get that swell going. Absolutely. Like, that is actually really important, especially because it goes back to, especially for video games, visibility. And so, like, I don't know if, like, Borderlands 3 needs that you like. Visibility. But, like,
I wish people were so passionate about ranting about the things that they enjoy and the things that they don't.
Yeah. Yep. You know,
but outrage culture is such a great marketing trick. Like, you have, like, Nike, oh, we're gonna sponsor this person or that person. They made sales. Like, oh, we're gonna, like, destroy all our Nikes because they sponsored that other person. They made sales and improvements. Mm-hmm. Like, just even Subway had a bump after being like, oh, that guy's a kitty diddler. Like, they made sales. it's outrage culture is such a great marketing trick. Don't be tricked, though. Don't be tricked.
It is a trick.
It's a and trick. Just
remember, when you're watching it, be entertained, but remember that it is a trick.
Absolutely. And so don't spoil the tricks for yourself. If anything, start turning tricks yourself. What's up? So, like...
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Here we go. All right. So there's three rules you're going to need to know for when turning tricks on the internet. Number one, they're always dogs. They're never real
number
people.
Number two, it's illegal in Texas.
Oh, my God.
So I think that might be it for us today.
Yeah, we definitely have to wrap up
and,
the show now.
Number three, you're going to have to support on Patreon for this podcast. I'm Toilerk. She's Mika. Wonderful. <Hi. laughs> Catch us all the time you want on those things. You should actually say what up, though.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, interact with other content creators like Mwah. Mwah. So, as we definitely have to wrap up the show right now, Nika,
yes.
Twy, please give the listeners a recommendation. What games should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
I mean, you know I'm going to tell you Conan Exiles, because at this point I might just mention it every time I'm here.
Sure.
So that's great. Also, just, I mean, we're excited about Borderlands. Of course we are. Yeah, I've seen so many things that are just like, it's kind of like more of the same, though. And I'm like, bitch, it better be. I'm excited. I don't Absolutely. Care. I'm going to play it. But, like, ooh, aren't we a little too old for that? Bitch, no! I am excited for it. I'm very much looking forward to it. We, as a household, will definitely be playing it together. From mm-hmm. launch, we'll probably stream it. Because why mm-hmm. wouldn't we?
Yes.
So, no, that is... right?
No, we're definitely going to want.
Except we're definitely going to do it on a different channel, though.
Can I request, like, a Borderlands OC drawing?
Yes. I would have to practice what that would look like. But yes, Ooh. Probably. But also... Yeah,
I'm gonna think up something cool. Yeah.
But that's definitely, I mean, what's on my radar right now.
Mm-hmm. Borderlands. Yeah, absolutely. It's gotten a ton of hype, and
I've been ignoring all of the type or the hype. I haven't been watching.
Really?
No,
I want it. I have gotten off the hype trains of things. Like, it is a decision. I actually made this decision for Horizon Zero Dawn. When Horizon Zero Dawn was very first, the first, like, E3 or whatever trailers, the fuck that came out of it, I was like, I want this game, I'm interested in this game, I don't want to hear another fuck thing about this game until I buy it. And when I did, it exceeded what my expectations were by a long shot. It was definitely one of my favorite of this generation's.
I didn't know. I didn't have a bunch of people telling
me. Nope, didn't have people complaining that the girl wasn't hot enough or that she was a girl. Don't give two.
Nothing.
Shit.
I don't get fucked. I saw the trailer, and I want it. I'm in. Like, you got me.
Perfect.
I am sold. And so if somebody else on, like, this is going to be posting or whatever, like, ooh, can't wait for this game, I'm going to be like, yeah, me neither. Hashtag dope. Let's do this. Like, fucking first-person opinions. But, like, on top
that
of
is how I've been treating Borderlands.
Yeah.
I haven't been watching. I didn't.
Hey, did you hear it's going to come out? Oh, hot damn.
Yeah, basically. Today was the first day that I looked at who the playable characters were, because I'm like, oh, it's soon. You know, it's 10 days away, not even.
Yeah.
Now I should probably look and see. I mean, I know that I'm going to play a hunter character because sniping for life, but regardless. Yes.
I'm glad we agree on this.
I went to, because, like, went to PAX West, and they had, like, their huge booth, and you got to play, like, parts of the game, and you got to see all this and that, but, like, and they have these big statues of, like, their characters and this, and I was like, I don't know any of these. And I was just like, where's the Claptrap one? And we, like, took a little photo booth or whatever, and I was like, I've never seen any of these guns, I've never seen this, and then... meat. And all it did was excite me more because it's all these things I didn't know I wanted or needed or had. It just, it's all new, but it's still the same.
And maybe I've made a mistake. Maybe this is why nothing phases me anymore. I've dedicated myself to a video game podcast about gaming news, and now everything is like not brand new to me.
How many I've been to eight PAXes. Nothing is new anymore.
I believe officially it's PAXen. Thank you.
PAXen.
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 No, PAXes. Ooh, I like PAXes. PAXes. Just nothing.
It's the one that feels right to me. But yeah, same. And I've stopped going to those. I mean, the last time I went to a PAX was specifically for Monster Hunter World. I wanted to play the demo. I wanted to get the pin, and then I got the fuck out.
You just went for one thing.
I literally went for one thing. I mean,
and then that's fair.
Scalped my badge on the friends, way out.
I've had some friends actually go this year just for Final Fantasy 14, so I guess it...
Got the shirt.
I guess there's...
Boom.
Yeah.
I just... Nah, I want to enjoy the things I enjoy because they are rare. That it is rare to find something that does speak to you on some sort of level or does fit into how you be in this moment. And so, like, yeah, enjoy it. And if you know that you're like, oh, man, I might like that, get into it. But allow yourself. Like, set yourself up for success. Don't set yourself up by the success that other people think is success, because they're also wrong. Because they're just our peers. She and we're all fucking idiots. There. We're all fucking chodes. We're
set all yourself up for success, sure. But don't ruin that childlike wonder that you get from experiencing like a game or a book or anything. I've stopped consuming that particular type of media, whether it's movie trailers, like I watched a trailer and I'm like, I'm interested in that. That's it. I'm not going to watch every outtake
or
every
little scene. What do we think it's going to be like?
I just
like half a millisecond. Like
let yourself be surprised. Let yourself be present in that moment to enjoy something, because all you're going to do when you hype yourself up and when you consume all of that stuff and other people's speculation is that you compare what you're consuming to every other thing that you already have in your mind about what it's going to be like. You'll be like, but this might have a twist. Well, is this a twist? Is this a twist? Is this a twist? Stop.
Don't M. Night Shyamalan yourself.
Just calm the fuck down is basically it.
So we're plugging Borderlands 3.
That is
exactly it. We're plugging.
Segment, yes.
Borderlands
3. We're plugging the thing we're most excited about and haven't seen anything about it since.
Yes. Like,
for me, is it Borderlands 3?
Order Blands 3. Got it. Yes. What is it? Who knows?
Order Bands.
Wonder Bands.
Wonder Bands.
Wonder Bands Try. I'm excited.
I'm happy.
Try boys.
Twi, do you have anything else you're excited about? Recommendations you want to talk about?
In terms of video games, not necessarily. In terms of Inktober,
absolutely. I actually was trying not to mention Inktober.
My bad.
Hey,
because no. Okay, look. You can't, man. No. You can't. Okay, just already. In an hour and 22 minutes, man. We can't
I have to allow my guests to get their plugs in.
Inktober is a drawing prompt thing that happens every October. It's made by his name is Jake something. And so Inktober is very much an artist thing. It was started by him to practice inking. That is why it's called Inktober for October. It's a prompt a day to inspire you to draw ink something. We have, in the past, used it as an excuse to go balls out playing with new mediums, doing experimental kinds of streams, not just art streams, but other sorts of creative stuff. Basically, it is an excuse to do whatever we've been thinking might be kind of neat as just a whole big hurrah.
Throw balls to the walls.
So, we have a whole bunch of really neat stuff, coming down the pipeline for that, different kinds of creative stuff that we would love for people to join us on. We're absolutely open to collaborators for that, because this is the time that we're looking for said collaborations, lining everything up for that. We'll definitely be doing movie nights and things like that, you know, those standard community efforts. But there's so much.
Let's do it.
I am very excited about it.
Together. That is Wonderpuss. I am the Twilark. You can find us everywhere at those names. WANDERPUS for Wonderpuss. And then Twilark. I don't know. Spell it out. Fuck you. But
TWYLARK or the Twilark, depending on the platform.
Hit
but
us.
Perfect. All of that stuff will be happening on Twitch, so that's twitch.tv/wanderbus. All of that, please come hang out with us, do creative shit, have a good time.
Let's, like, swap communities, just, like,
let's just jerk each other off.
Yeah, no big deal. You know, that's how, like, swapping works, right?
Yeah, Trinidadian Tetratug?
It's like a circle jerk, but, like, not a circle.
More.
Oh, boy.
It's more angular.
More?
More. Angular.
Because, like, it's more angular. It's sharper. It's sharper, yeah, so it's that sharper. Way you can feel the edge.
Oh.
But sounds as bad. Always, you can actually find us every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on Twitch. I do character portrait giveaways, not just for 4Team, but from anything. So other MMOs, other games from other characters from other games. If you've been playing that WoW Classic, like, bring it on over. Also, D&D, TTRPG, characters, OCs from stories you've written. Like, come, join, enter a raffle, win some art, hear some dumb conversations. Because if you liked any of the rants that you've heard here, there are more of those.
Talk mad shit.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to drop by.
I would love if you do.
Yeah, I'm going to have to drop by and
Inktober.
Get in. Yeah, get in on the interesting quote unquote conversations.
Absolutely, yeah, especially because this weekend is primal themed. So you can come get your character drawn in the primal of your choice. I can't remember who it was that mentioned that to me as an idea. You know, the name's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't recall.
Was it me?
It was indeed
it
you,
was
my
you!
Friend. So I love that so much. We did a Cineater version of that at the start of August, and I loved it. And I'm like, you know what? Let's do some more. Cineater felt a little bit easier because it was very narrow of a window, but we're going to do primal themes this weekend. So, yeah, like, excellent. Fuck yeah. This would be a great time for you to stop by, considering you helped bring this about.
I'm
going to
do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Also, all right. At GameWorkers for the Twitter, go like, follow that. Get all your gaming unionizing thingy news, because that's news that does matter. And they do have calls to action when you can, like, hit up, write letters, do things like that. It does fucking matter when we all collectively come together and try to do shit and realize, no, we fucking can, though, because we can. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we will put that in the description. Be sure to check out all those links. Links to Nika, links to Twi, all those good stuff will be in the link in the description. Be sure to check it out. As always, you can find me at ComicJaceGaming on Twitter. You could find the Weekly Cooldown on its own Twitter page as well, at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page, and I set up a Facebook group so that you guys can join it and, you know, talk shit. So make sure to join the Facebook group as well. Visit WK Cooldown and check all that out for more news from the Weekly Cooldown. Be sure, of course, again, to check out the links in the description, including, of course, the Humble Bundle for this week. Mm-hmm. And support all your favorite charities. And support me, Kami Jace, and the Weekly Cooldown. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And Twilight!
Not at the same time.
I'm Nika. That's our
and excellent. Perfect. And we will see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Woo! Hail Satan.